Hello, everybody. It's Matt.
And Desiree.
And you know what time it is.
Another episode of the Garage of Horror
podcast.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Thanks for tuning in to the first episode based on a winner of our 80 slasher tournament on Twitter.
Friday the 13th, as if there was any doubt ever.
Yeah, pretty much murked Maniac and Prom Night, like right off the bat. Wasn't even close.
I've never even seen Maniac, and I think I've only seen parts of Prom Night, but those poor movies.
See, when you were upstairs Friday night and I was asking you like if you were okay and you're like, oh, I'm just not in the Joe Bob mood. Uh-huh. Yeah, the first movie they showed was Maniac.
I've
seen it. Yeah. But before we get into all the Friday the 13th business, we got our show tonight is brought to you guys by Chantal Laurel Hanley, I think is how she said she pronounces her name. She does these realistic horror prints on Twitter, like pastels. They're like ridiculously good.
Oh yeah, they're really, really nice.
Yeah. And now not only is she selling the prints on, you know, canvases or paper or whatever she uses, but now she's putting them on reusable surgical masks. So now you can order something from her, and while you're keeping yourself safe from COVID outside, you can be scaring the hell out of everybody around you with a nice mask that has like Reagan from The Exorcist on it, or Freddy Krueger, or some other horror movie icon or scene of your liking. She has an Etsy shop, which is www.chantalhanley.etsy.com. She has a Redbubble store, which is www.redbubble.com/people/Chantal Hanley-shop. And then if you just want to follow her on Twitter so you can see her stuff, it is at Chantal Hanley.
Give her a look. Yeah.
Yeah, the stuff is really good.
Yeah.
So, like we said, tonight's movie, Friday the 13th. So, let's start things off by taking a gander at this trailer.
Hello? Who is that? Oh, hi. What are you doing out in this mess?
We weren't doing anything. We were just messing up.
Four. Five. Seven.
Can I help you? Hello?
Eight. Nine. 13th. You may only see it once, but that will be enough. Friday, the 13th.
You didn't even give me a chance to ask you what you thought about the trailer.
I didn't mean to. Maybe if I had seen it before the movie, it might not seem so lame. But it's like, having seen the movie and then seeing that, it's like, okay, that's a lame-ass trailer.
Yeah, it's basically just like, as y'all heard, like a countdown. Like, it shows like different, you
count
know,
up.
Or count up, whatever. It shows like different scenes of impending murder. And then the number.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not even like in any kind of order. Did the crazy guy die? Like, did I miss that?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't die in part one. He dies in part two.
Okay. So, see, they even count people that didn't die.
Well, I don't think they were counting the deaths. I think they were just like showing stuff and counting up to like 13. Because there's only 10 deaths in the movie. So, it doesn't make any sense.
I guess that's why they had to count people that didn't die.
All right, so.
Because I was going to say the main girl didn't die either, and they showed her as what, like number 3 or 4?
Yeah, something like that. Which is funny because like all of the comments on the YouTube videos, like, they spoiled the whole movie and the whole trailer. Now we know who dies and when. And it's like,
no, you don't.
Because one, it's all out of order. Okay. And like you said, there's like a couple people in the trailer that don't even die.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I agree. The trailer is like kind of lame. You know, I mean, I'm used to much more hardcore stuff these days. I guess that's just how they rolled in 1980. And I guess, like, with not a lot of slashers around and stuff, like, that could have been, like, you know, intriguing.
Yeah, I guess so.
But all right, moving on to the movie itself. So, Dez, what are your first impressions of Friday the 13th?
It's not terrible. It's just not like, I wasn't upset that the kids kept interrupting and that I had to keep leaving the room to do stuff. Like, I didn't feel like I was just missing it and it was awful and, or, you know, that I was missing it.
You weren't upset that you were missing
it. Yeah, basically.
So you weren't invested.
No, not at all.
So is this just because, like, of your normal, oh, it was made in the 80s, so therefore lame?
There was a little bit of cheesiness there, but it was kind of, you know, like, Chick's axe to the face was so fake, and, but, it was, I don't know, like, I just, maybe because I've seen so many movies that are like, all the counselors are getting murdered, it just doesn't stand out, I guess.
Well, plus, like, to be fair, like, with you being born, you know, like, later, like, you know, 90, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, by the time you were old enough to, like, see any Friday the 13th, like, you know, at that point, like, I think they were pretty much, like, actually, I think they were, like, pretty much done by that point. Like, I think, like, Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday was, like, in the 90s, if I'm remembering correctly. So, like, you know.
I thought Jason X came out after.
Yeah, it did, but I think that was, I think that was, like, 2000, 2001,
okay.
Something like that. I could be wrong. Sure. Like, I could look it up right quick, but, like, I don't think Jason X was a 90s movie. I think it was, like, you know, after that.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to see here, my handy dandy, yep, 2001. So, see, I know what's up. I shouldn't even have looked. I knew it. I nailed it. So, but I mean, like, you know, so if that was the, you know, if you saw those ones first and then, you know, the ones that come, like, later in a series, like, they have higher kill counts. Like, you know, they actually, like, show you a lot of everything.
Yeah.
So then, like, going back and watching that one, like, I can see how you would think that it's tame.
Yeah. That's what, you know, like I said, during the movie, it's like there's, it was so tame. Like, you see a little bit of blood. The goriest thing is, you know, like, the arrowhead thing coming out of dude's chest.
Kevin Bacon's throat.
Yeah.
Well, I do have to take umbrage with your whole thing about like Chick's axe to the face thing being so fake, because one, they used a real axe because that's why they hit it off the light so that you could tell that it was a real axe. And I mean, of course it's fake because I mean, they're not just going to axe a chick in the face.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think the axe in the face is fake. I think the cheesy part of that is like when she just like screams gives up mid scream, just like, yeah. And then it like freezes.
It's
like that part doesn't sell well, but like, yeah. I think the axe part's pretty good. And another thing different about this Friday the 13th compared to the other ones is like this one actually has like three off screen deaths that you don't see.
Yeah,
you know, like Bill gets killed off screen. You know, she finds him later. You know, we'll get to that. Yeah. Like Brenda gets killed off screen. You know, so like there's two right there. And then Ned gets killed off screen too. So like, you know, you have three out of the 10 get murked off screen.
And you don't see him again until later.
Yeah. Whereas in all the other Friday movies, like they do not cut away. Like it's Jason's show, starting with part two, and like the murders are pretty much front and center.
Yeah.
Now I know you said so earlier, but I told you I was going to ask you again. Do you remember the first time that you saw Friday the 13th?
Not really. I think this is probably the first time I've sat down and mostly watched it all the way through.
I was going to say, would it be safe to say that the first time you saw it was probably with me anyway?
Yeah.
So how much did you know, like, about the first Friday the 13th? Like, did you know that it wasn't Jason
and
that
it was his mom? Yeah, it was his mom. Although, granted, I only learned that one recently, too. But, yeah, I did know that it wasn't him. And, I mean, is there anything else to know about it, really?
I mean, not really, but, you know, like, I remember, like, that when I was, like, younger, like, that blew my mind, because, like, I came out in 80, so that was 2 years before I was born, right? Uh-huh. And then, you know, so, like, I started watching them, and I didn't see them in order, because they were always on TV, and they were always showing, like, I think the one they showed the most was Jason Lives, which is part 6, and that's, like, my favorite one. I saw 6, and then 7. You know, all the later entries, like all the Friday the 13th I saw, it was firmly Jason in the hockey mask killing everybody. So I thought that that was what it always was. And then, you know, I got back to watch the first three. Actually, I remember watching Friday the 13th part 4, the final chapter, like on Showtime with my mom. And like, he had the mask. You know, so like, I thought that's always what it was. Well, here, he didn't get the mask until the third one, you know?
Right.
And then the second one, he had the sack,
yeah.
You know? And then, like, that was the first appearance of Jason, which I didn't know. So then when I went back and I watched the first one, you know, I'm watching, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm like, it's kind of weird that they're not showing Jason, you know, like, they're not showing him. And then, like, he got to the end, it was his mom. I was like, whoa, like, holy shit.
Yeah, I think a lot of my issue with that one is that, you know, it's all, like, the body cam. Yeah,
the voyeuristic POV.
Yeah.
That's because, like, they were trying to keep the fact that it was a woman secret.
Yeah, that's fine. And, you know, you just see, like, shoes and pants that could have been either one. Although I will say it didn't look like a woman walking into the cabin when Ned followed in.
Well, I can tell you it definitely wasn't a woman when Annie got her throat slashed. when he walks in front and he goes like that. Yeah, that's Tom Savini.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say that looked like a very manly hand.
Yeah, man hands. All right, let's get into our movie counts. So we have 10 dead bodies, one undead body. When Jason comes up out of the lake at the end, we have an arrow to the throat, an axe to the face, arrows to the eyes and throat, and unfortunately for Lily's boob count, 0 boobs.
Don't you see, was it Brenda's boobs?
I don't think so. Like, they were doing the missionary No, because like you had Marcy got naked with Kevin Bacon's character, but they were having the missionary sex. He was laying on top of her, so you never really saw her boobs.
Yeah, but then after, well, I guess his hand was there.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't she lean over him after he died, or he was laying there or something?
No, because she left, and then she got the axe to the face, and then he gets the arrow to the throat.
Oh.
Yeah, like he gets killed after her.
Okay. Well, you got some side boob-ish. Sort of cleavage. Yeah. Cleavage.
Or maybe he gets killed before she gets the axe, but either way, she's not in the room. Yeah. So, like, she doesn't.
I knew that, but okay. I thought, like, when before she left, she leaned over him and her shirt was open.
No, when we count boobs, we're counting, like, full frontal naked boobs.
Oh. Not just sneak peeks?
No. Okay. Zero boobs.
Fine.
all right, so, into the cast. We have. The director was Sean S. Cunningham. Before Friday the 13th, he actually worked with Wes Craven on Last House on the Left. It was written by Victor Miller. Miller. Why do I keep like adding like accents to shit tonight?
I don't know.
Miller. You have Adrian King as Alice Hardy. Janine Taylor as Marcy. Robbie Morgan as Annie. Kevin Bacon as Jack. Harry Crosby as Bill. Lori Bartram as Brenda. Mark Nelson as Ned. Peter Brower as Steve Christie. Betsy Palmer as Mrs. Voorhees, and then Ari Lehman as Undead Jason.
Ari's not a bad name.
No. There was, the cast is slightly bigger, like, you know, like you have the cop and, you know, Ralph and the people in town, like the guy that Annie catches the ride with in the truck, but
they're more like extras.
There's like, right. Yeah, they're supporters, they're not main ones, so like I really wasn't worried about that. Fun facts. And trivia. It was made for $500,000. It's like half a mil. Like, that's it. For the longest time, it was like the highest grossing independent movie of like all time. I don't know if that's still the case. But I know like now, like from 1980 up until today, like through like, you know, movie releases, VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, like all that good stuff. Uh-huh. Like, it's gross. Like, about $1 billion, like they said, like just shy of a billion.
Well, I think they made their money back.
Yeah, I would say so. The working title for it was A Long Night at Camp Blood. Filming started on September 4th, 1979, and they filmed it in 28 days.
Wow.
And then took 10 weeks to edit it.
So it took them longer to edit than it did to film it.
Yes. Tom Savini was one of the first crew members on board because the producers saw his makeup from Dawn of the Dead and were pretty much like, yo, we got to have this guy. Sean Cunningham and Victor Miller have both been quoted many times as basically saying they were ripping off Halloween. But one thing they did different was like the Halloween movies have like lots of music.
Right.
But the Friday the 13th movie actually has, at least this one, it actually has very little music. In fact, like Harry Manfredini decided to only have music in the movie when the killer is present. So that's why like there's only like brief quick moments of music in the beginning.
Right.
But then like the climax of the movie is like wall-to-wall music.
Right.
Because like, you know, like she's there.
Yeah.
An interesting thing I found was like the main chick, Alice Hardy, Sally Field actually auditioned for that role. I don't know if you know who Sally... Okay, for you, I would say Sally Field, Forrest Gump's mom.
Oh, okay.
And Forrest Gump. Like, I had to look at you for a minute and narrow down your generation and be like, okay, I need a Sally Field movie.
You know, I stand for a defense to that.
That you would know. And currently, there is a huge legal battle going on between Victor Miller and Sean Cunningham. Like, apparently the copyright on screenplays is supposed to revert back to the writer after 35 years. So Miller says he owns it, and a judge, like, actually agreed. But then, like, Cunningham filed an appeal and basically said that since Miller's part of, like, the Writers Guild and, like, he was hired, that means, like, he was subcontracted. So, like, he doesn't fall under, like, you know, like, the normal author, like, you know, loophole for, like, the copyright to revert back to. Like, he's basically saying, like, no, you were hired for a job.
Yeah.
So, like, the copyright belongs to us. And so now it's all in limbo again. And, like, that's partly why there hasn't been a new Friday the 13th movie since 2009.
Oh.
But they also, I guess they expect the final decision to come in about June of this year. Supposedly. I don't know if coronavirus will slow that down. But, yeah. But, all right. Now that we've got all this nuts and bolts stuff out of the way, let's do what we do best. Break down the plot.
I guess we can do that.
So, what do you think of the plot of Friday the 13th? Like, in terms of, I guess, again, for you, like you said before, like, just seeing, like, a bunch of counselors get murdered is, like, old hat.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad. You know, it's fairly typical. I do like the twist at the end with, you know, it not only being a woman, but being his mother. Yeah, that kind of gives it its own thing. I guess the counselors weren't all up into having sex and doing drugs on this one. So that helped.
Which is funny because, like, when this first came out, like, and it got, like, slammed by, like, critics and, like, reviewers and whatnot, right? And they were like, oh, it's a morality play. If you have sex and do drugs, you get killed and blah, 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 blah. And, like, you know, like, all that stuff, which did tend to happen, like, in slashers later, especially, like, in later Friday the 13th movie. Like, there was, like, boobs and sex, like, all over the place. But, like, there wasn't really, like, a lot of that in this one. I mean, like,
one couple had sex.
Yeah, like, Jack and Marcy have sex. And, I mean, I guess, like, Alice, you know, Alice, Bill, and Sarah play strip Monopoly, but, like, none of them even get naked.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not, like, wall-to-wall nakedness where it's, like, I don't get the complaint.
What were they watching?
I don't know, because, and then they also said it, like, it was, like, really gory, and, like, the MPAA, like, told Cunningham and them when they were making part two that, like, they had to tone down the gore because they let too much pass with the first one. I'm like, that's not a gory movie.
Yeah, not at all.
I mean, I guess for the time, but, like, I have seen way worse.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, like, for example, like, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, right? Like, Freddy cuts a kid's wrist and legs open and uses his tendons like freaking puppet strings and makes him jump off a building, right? Nightmare 5, like, he's literally, like, sticking his knives into a girl's stomach and then, like, feeding herself, like, to her, right? Like, that's good. Like, there's nothing in Friday the 13th that comes close to those two, sites.
No. I mean, it's not Nightmare on Elm Street either. But, yeah, like I said, I feel like the goriest thing was the arrow coming up through his throat. And even that wasn't really that gory.
Yeah, I mean, like, you had one blood spurt.
Yeah.
Which, that happened, I guess, because, you know, like, they had Kevin Bacon. Like, they had him, like, on his knees with his head, like, you know, like, sticking up through the bed. Uh-huh. And then they had a prosthetic chest and stuff, you know, coming down. And then, so Savini's under the bed with another guy. And, like, Savini sticks the arrow up through the chest prosthetic, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the other guy has, you know, you have those, like, those caulking gun type things.
Yeah.
Well, he has one of those with a hose attached to it that goes up into the wound, right? And he's supposed to be pushing it so that the blood will come out. Well, he's pushing it, and the hose came off of the gun. And they knew they were only going to be able to have, like, one chance to shoot the scene, you know, because they would have had to make a whole new prosthetic.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, shit, like, I got to force his blood up through. So, like, I guess, like, he grabbed the hose and, like, basically, like, you know, just put it up to his mouth, like, blew into it as hard as he could. And, like, that's why you get, like, that one jut of, like, blood that comes up and, like, hits Kevin in the face. And then, like, the whole gurgle thing was because they, like, yeah, he had to, like, do it by mouth. So, I mean, so you have that. And I guess an axe to the face is considered gory. Like,
yeah, I guess. But even that, like, there wasn't much blood. It was just around the wound.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a sight thing.
I guess.
Like, you know, they weren't used to seeing shit like that. I don't know. Yeah. And I mean, like, when she opens the door for the generator and, like, Steve's pinned to it, you know, he has an arrow in the eye, he has an arrow in the throat, and his throat is cut open. Yeah. He's got an arrow in the chest. Like, I mean, like, violent imagery. I guess
maybe they just didn't have that back then,
but yeah. But okay, so the movie starts off, right? It's like, what, like 1958, I think, 55, 58. 58. Yeah, 58. You know, Camp Crystal Lake, you got all these counselors, you know, they're sitting in the room, they're playing like nice little songs on the guitar and singing and
Kumbaya.
Yeah, you know, all that good stuff. And then two of them get up and go off to do what the movies are famous for. They go off to have sexy times. And they're in the barn and they're starting to get it on when all of a sudden here comes our killer. And the boy gets up and he's like, oh, hey, man, we weren't doing nothing. And he gets promptly sliced in the stomach.
Yeah.
And then the girl starts running back and forth.
Oh, my God. That was the stupidest thing. Like, okay, I get, you know, like being pinned and they're following you or whatever. But as soon as they start walking down that aisle, you fucking run around and run out the back. Not go further back to get trapped. That pissed me off. It's like, you stupid bitch, you deserve to die.
But I will say, like, I do like how, like, you know, she like backs up and she screams and it freezes.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets like real close to her face and then it whites out. Like, when I saw that, I had never seen like a murder in a movie like freeze,
yeah.
You know, like that before. So like I thought, like I remember seeing that and thinking like that was really cool. And it's not even something that, like, they do a lot of now. So yeah. I think, like, you know, like it's still like pretty much like a signature of that movie. As a matter of fact, like when we watched American Horror Story 1984 this year. And in the first episode, you know, the girl, he's coming up on her and she's backing up toward the door and it freezes like that. I was like, Friday the 13th, like first thing I thought of, like, and it was obviously a direct homage to that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, yeah, like nobody else really, really does that. So they're the first two to get killed in the whole franchise, but it's in the past.
Right.
So then we fast forward to present day and we have Annie coming to town. And, you know, she's got her sleeping bag and knapsack and, you know, everything on because, you know, she's hitchhiking up the cramp. Oh, can't fucking talk tonight. Jesus Christ. Up to Camp Crystal Lake because she's going to be the cook. And she rolls into this diner, store, whatever, and pretty much asks for a ride up there. And everybody just looks at her like, what?
I guess it shows my age again. I don't get the whole hitchhiking thing. Like, get a fucking ride. You have a mom or something. Somebody has a car.
Yes, that's definitely showing your age because up until that point, like, people used to hitchhike all of the time. Like, everywhere. Like, it was a perfectly acceptable thing. Like, people would just be like, oh, I'm just going to hitch down to wherever or hitch here. Like, nobody thought anything of it.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, this, you know, serial killer explosion, you know, in the 70s with, you know, Gacy, Bundy, you know, like all, you know, all that crazy stuff. And then, you know, people just disappearing left and right. And that was finally when people were like, dude, you need to stop hitchhiking. Like, you don't know if you're getting in a car with a fucking crazy person or not. And then they looked at people and was like, you need to stop picking up hitchhikers because you don't know if the hitchhiker is a crazy person or not. Like, you know what I mean? So like that, like right around when this movie was made, I would say is like when, you know, like hitchhiking really started to like fall out of vogue, you know, to where like today, like it's very rare to see somebody hitchhiking. And if I see it, I just drive on by. Like, no,
I feel bad, but I do too.
Yeah. I'd rather feel bad and be alive than be dead. just saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, so she asked for a ride and the guy's like, oh yeah, I'll take you up there. And they come out and that's where she meets Ralph. He's all like, you're doomed if you go up there. It's got a death curse.
And she's just like, oh, whatever, I'm going.
Right? And like the guy's pretty much like, dude, Ralph, you're being weird. Like, get the fuck away. And then, like, they start driving up there, and then, like, he starts doing the same thing. He's like, you should quit.
Quit? What? No.
He's like, and I don't understand, like, it's kind of funny. Like, I understand Ralph's whole, it's got a death curse, you're all doomed thing in the second one, but I don't really get it in this one. Because, I mean, yes, you had, okay, I guess, like, Jason drowned in, like, 55 or whatever.
It's 57.
Then whatever. She killed two counselors in 58.
And then in 62, they said
so. They said the water was bad. Well, they said they had a couple fires. The water was bad. Like, basically, stuff always happened when they were about to try to reopen it, which obviously it was her up there fucking around trying to keep it from reopening it. But only two people got killed from 1957 till whatever year this takes place.
Yeah. Him dying. Yeah, that would be
funny. Yeah, but he wasn't murdered.
No.
But okay, he died at the camp. Whatever. So three deaths. Okay. And then, like, you have the stuff with the water. Like, that's not a death curse. Okay. Like, it's weird, but it's not a death curse. Like, three people does not constitute a death curse. Sure. Now, by the time he starts saying his stuff in part two, when you add the 10 deaths on top of the other three, and now there's been 13 people killed up there, now we're in death curse territory.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could be nitpicking, but whatever.
People died there. There's a death curse.
So she's getting a ride up there, and he's like, quit. And he's telling her about all this stuff that happened up there, like the fires and the bad water and, you know, the two camp counselors. And she's like, you're starting to sound like your crazy friend. And he's like, you kids think you know everything.
Yeah.
Basically drops her off at the side of the road. And then, you know, she continues on and she picks up another ride in the Jeep, which turns out to be her last ride.
Yep.
My poor Annie. She doesn't even make it to camp.
You.
She was so nice.
Other than dumb. I mean, I guess you can be nice and dumb.
You know, being nice doesn't make you dumb.
No, but hitching a ride all the way to a camp does.
By today's standards.
Well,
then it wasn't dumb. Whatever. But she gets in the Jeep and, you know, they're going up to camp. And then, you know, and this is something here, like, was there a sign? I'm guessing there was a sign. I think there was. It said Camp Crystal Lake because, you know, she's all like, hey, I think the turn was back there. And the Jeep speeds up. When you say, hey, the turn's back here, and the car you're in immediately speeds up, that is not good.
No.
It's not a good sign.
Not at all.
So she jumps out. And runs off into the woods and, you know, gets chased in. And I was watching it earlier and I'm like, you know, like she just goes running into the woods like willy nilly, you know, and it's like, you've never been in this area. You don't know how big these woods are. Like, you know, like, why would you just go, you know, running in like further and further? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's me, like I'm going into the woods, right? I'm going in so far. And I'm seeing the Jeep back up, right? So, like, I'm a circle. You know, as the Jeep's backing up, I'm going to go down, you know, to where the Jeep was.
Makes sense.
You know? And I'm just going to keep working my way that way. So, that way, when a person gets out of the Jeep, I can get on the road. And if they didn't turn the Jeep off, I'm taking your fucking Jeep. Because that's what you get for trying to kill me. That's what happens. Grand Theft Auto in this bitch.
I was kind of thinking that, like, she should just take the Jeep and run.
Right, exactly. But she does not. And instead, she gets her throat slashed by the very man hands.
Yes.
Of Tom Savini. All right, so after Annie gets killed, then we go to the camp. And that's when we're introduced to Alice and Steve.
Because we see Ned and Jack and...
You really want to go over and drive in the camp?
Well, I mean, don't they, like, get high?
I don't remember. I know we just watched it this morning, but I got... It's 11 o'clock now. I got...
Well, I know poor Ned still wanted lead.
Yeah, because he did ask Brenda if... not Brenda. Why do I keep calling her Brenda? Marcy. Yeah. He asked Marcy if there's going to be other cute girls at the camp.
Yeah.
Which I maintain that Ned totally had a crush on Marcy. And he was waiting.
Oh, yeah.
He was biding his time.
You
can
see it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. They're smoking, coming up to camp. And then we get to camp. And Alice is putting up a gutter. And I went through this specifically because my wife said that while we were watching it, and you should have seen it. I just said it now, and her eyes almost fell out of her head.
I know, like, stereotypically, girls are dumb and don't know how to do maintenance stuff. But everybody fucking knows.
Who's making the sexist comments now?
Everyone knows that when you have to get up on a ladder to do something, you extend your reach to the limit. You get as much as you can on that ladder while you're up there before you move. This bitch gets up there, has what's his name hold it up for?
Steve.
Yeah, Steve. And she nails in one nail, gets down, moves the ladder 3 fucking inches, and then goes up to do another one. And magically, that one nail, now it's staying up. You don't need to hold it up anymore.
I was literally waiting for you to finish because I was going to say, you know, I find it funny that the ladder moving is what you have a problem with and not the fact that she put in one nail and now the gutter was just staying up.
Oh, no, I have a problem with that. Okay. Especially when I just sat there and fought with fucking chicken wire for 2 hours today.
Yeah, we have an enclosed porch out back that has like screens on it, and our 18-month-old boy is a daredevil, and he keeps just wanting to put all his chubby ass weight against those screens. And like one of these times, he's gonna do it, and we decided he's just gonna go through it and tumble down like what?
Right into the garden bed and rocks.
Yeah, like what is it? Maybe a foot.
Probably closer to 2.
Maybe 2 feet. So we went out and got chicken wire and put it on the framework inside to like kind of like buffer it against the screen to hopefully keep his happy little ass on the porch.
Yeah, like clearly the person that made that porch did not have young children to worry about because it's screened from top to bottom.
Or they just weren't as destructive as our children.
Yeah, there's a few holes in those screens now.
But anyway, back on topic.
Yeah.
They're putting up the gutter, and we have gone over the gutter problem. And then Steve starts really trying to pimp on Alice.
Yeah, he does.
Which seems really weird because it seems to be inferred that they were in a relationship before. You know? Like, that's what I got from it. Because, you know, no, he did. He was like, are you going to give me another chance?
Oh.
And she's all like, you know, uh-huh. And he's like, well, if stay till the end of the week, and if you don't like it, I'll put you on the bus myself. But can we talk about how, like, in this movie, the counselors are set to be teenagers.
Right.
So it would stand to reason that if they're teenagers, that Alice is a teenager. Steve is pretty damn old to be hitting on a teenager.
Yeah, just a bit. But I didn't really see Alice as a teenager. Like, I did kind of see her as being a little bit
older. A little bit older?
Not much. Like, maybe 20s or so. But I did think she was older.
I don't know. Like, I thought so too. But then, like I said, like, between watching the movie and then watching the behind-the-scenes stuff for the movie on, you know, Crystal Lake Memories, You know, they were really talking about, like, the counselors being teenagers, you know, and all that. So, like, I just kind of, like, lumped Alice, you know, like, into that. Yeah.
Was she supposed to be a counselor?
Yeah.
Or was she just like the head of the counselors?
Yeah, everybody there was.
Oh, okay.
Supposed to be counselors. With Steve being in charge. I just think she just got there earlier than everybody else is what I think.
Oh, okay.
Because if you notice, like, when Marcy and Jack and Ned show up, he pretty much puts them right to work too. And it wasn't just her. Steve was there too because he asked, where's Steve at?
Yeah,
so he was there too. So I think like they just got there earlier than everybody else.
Makes sense.
But yeah, so then like Jack, Marcy, and Ned show up. Steve puts them to work doing this stuff. And then like this motherfucker right here, Steve, this smooth motherfucker, they get there. Steve is an OG, okay? He rolls like somebody in charge should roll. They get there. He's like, Alice, I want you to do this. I want you to tell Steve to do this. I want you three to do this. Come on. I don't want to fall behind. And then he's like, I got to go to town. And then that dude is gone for the majority of the goddamn movie.
He's going to get drunk. He hit up that bar, man.
Well, no, he was going to get some kind of supplies or other because that's why he had the trailer on the back of the Jeep. When he finally was coming back. But, like, he's coming back. It's, like toward the end of the movie, it's nighttime, okay? So, like, he delegated shit out, and then he bounced.
Yeah. He was like, and then to look at him and say, do it quick because I don't want to get behind. And then be like, deuces.
Yeah. Like, what do you know if they can do it quick? Like, oh, what else are we supposed to do now?
No, but I mean, like, imagine it. Like, I just find it funny because, like, imagine if it was me and you, right? And we were going to clean the house. And we're sitting there, and I'm like, all right, so I want you to load up you can load up the dishwasher, and then, you know, when you're done loading up the dishwasher,
wait, let me stop you.
Go right down do this, and then you. I'm just like, bye. I'm done.
No, I tried to stop you before.
Okay, but whatever.
For one, you would fucking die if you ever tried to tell me how to clean my fucking house. It would make more sense if I looked at you and said, I want you to do this and this and do it quick because so-and-so is coming. I have to go get stuff and then leave.
Well, I was more...
How dare you?
No, I was more riffing on a lot of the times when we clean, like, you know, we do kind of, like, divide up. I mean, we don't talk about it beforehand, but, like, you know, like... Today, you were doing the living room, and I went in the kitchen and did the dishwasher, and you know what I mean? Like, we kind of, like, pick our own little area and
that's
do it.
That's
what
I was. Nice. I'm sorry. I tell you to fucking clean. You pick what you want to clean. That's fine. Unless you pick something stupid, and then I have to yell at you. But still, it's me in charge. This is
like, bad. Like, okay. Anywho, the point is, and the analogy I was making is, it would be like one of us telling the other, and then being like, later.
Me telling you. I kind of do that for birthday parties. Okay, all this needs cleaned. I need to go to the store and get the stuff.
Yeah, I gotta go get the cake, and then you and your mom are gone for 2.5 fucking hours.
We had a lot more to get than just cake that time. Thank you very much.
Just saying, if this would have been a Friday, if Connor's birthday would have been a Friday the 13th movie, you would have came back and we would have all been murdered.
Well, it's not a Friday the 13th movie, and I'm the only one that's going to do any murders around here, so.
But anyway, yeah, but still though, that's my shout out to Steve. Steve delegates, and then he gets the fuck out of Dodge. And he's like, I ain't doing none of this shit. And it better be done when I get back.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he got what was coming to him. So he bounces out. But I guess from watching like the behind the scenes thing was like they were kind of going for a whodunit or a who is it kind of thing.
And
with him being gone, it was like, oh, maybe it could be him. And then, like, Victor Miller was saying something about, like, in, like, his original script or something, like, the killer was missing a finger. And then it was like Steve was going to be missing a finger and somebody else was. And it was like, oh, these people. But it's like, okay, how many people is going to be missing a finger in this goddamn town? Like, you know, kind of thing. So, like, that was chucked out. But
I guess that does, like, send a thing. Because, you know, I made a comment about how come he has the same Jeep as the killer. But they kind of, like, killed that right in the beginning because... He was already there when...
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, you were just astute because they used the same Jeep for him and Mrs. Voorhees. Okay. It was just that, like, in certain scenes, like, the roof was on and then it was off. Like, okay. That... Or not the roof, I'm sorry, the license plate. When he had it and was driving it, the license plate was on it and then vice versa. So it was the same Jeep. They only had one Jeep. 500,000, honey. They only had one Jeep. So, like, fuck it. You're both going to use the same Jeep.
Just figured, you know, maybe, like, he was using his real car and the killer person was using their real car and they just happened to both have a Jeep.
It was the same exact color.
Yeah.
So, he's gone and they start getting cammed together. You know, they're cleaning the cabins, you know, they're doing the stuff in the kitchen. They're wondering where Annie is because she's supposed to be a good cook and she ain't showed up yet. And she's not going to because she's M-O-O-N, you know, got throat sliced, teated in the woods. And then the snake happens.
Yeah. And it was at that point in the movie that I'm like, you're not even watching this. Because I know there's going to be a reaction to the snake.
No, because I've seen this movie so many times that it's just like, whatever.
It's just there.
And just so you know, that was a real snake, and they really did cut it up.
It's kind of fucked up.
Well, there was no PETA on the set at that time.
Sounds like they became the first
PETA. So they murdered that motherfucker, and see, that's why there's no reaction either, because I knew that snake got iced. But Tom Savini said that they did the thing with the snake because, one, it was inspired by something that happened to them. Because, like, okay, so, like, the film was filmed at Camp Nobiscobo, okay, which is a Boy Scout camp in New Jersey. And while most of the cast, like, stayed, like, at motels and stuff, Tom Savini and, like, one other dude, I can't remember his name, they actually stayed at the camp. And, like, it was off season. There was nothing to do. So, like, they had a TV, a VCR with, like, two movies.
Oh, nice.
And, like, they would watch a different, they would just alternate them each night. Like, one of them was Barbarella, and I can't remember what he said the other one was. But I guess, like, something happened with him and a snake in the cabin. So, like, they just added that.
Wow. Snake.
Yeah. And then murdered it. So I was happy, because the only good snake is a dead snake. That's right, I said it.
You know.
I'm just saying.
Not nice.
Well, it is what it is.
Well, it is not nice.
So they iced the snake. Annie still hasn't shown up. And then do they go? I think from there they go down to the water, right?
Yeah, because they're doing something with the docks or something.
Yeah, they're like the dock is in like pieces, and they're like floating it. Yeah, like they're like floating it out and like putting it together.
That's interesting.
And then, yeah, so you know they're doing that, you know, and then Brenda's swimming and she gets a scare because she thinks she sees somebody in the woods, you know, and they're just hanging out. So then, you know, they go back up to the house, and then Ned's dancing around acting like a crazy Indian, and the police show up.
You totally bypassed the part where Ned pretended he was drowning. Was it? It was Ned, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, then go ahead. Bring us home, lady.
They're getting ready to go up, and Ned's still out there fucking around. And one of them finally realizes, oh, there's something going on with Ned. So they launch like their whole rescue thing, like fucking canoes and swimming and diving. And the, was it the buoy thing?
The buoy.
Buoy. I couldn't remember if they called it.
Like, he's a boy.
Do the whole CPR thing just because he wants to make out with chick. And he, like, grabs her up and, like, there's a sexual harassment.
I was actually going to mention it, and then, like, I've seen these movies, like, so many times, they start to bleed together. I couldn't remember that whether that did happen in this one, or if that was part two, or if it was. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to skip it. But good thing you're here to bring us home.
Yeah.
Dude, where did you get that scratch on your arm from? It looks like a K.
I told you, it's from the chicken wire. I got that one. I got this one. I got, like, various little spots all over me.
That mother legit looks like a K. From over here.
K, H, whatever. I don't know. It fucked me up. I got into a fight with chicken wire and I lost.
But and who does he make out with? Is it Brenda?
Maybe. I didn't really pay attention to which one of them actually gave him CPR.
I think it was Brenda. Whatever.
It'd be funny if it was Marcy. But I don't think it was.
No, I don't think it was either. But anyway, so they're back up at the cabins. And then the police guy shows up on his motorcycle. Ned's dancing around like an Indian. And that police officer was kind of a douche.
Just a little bit.
He's like, I said, sit on it, Tonto.
Yeah.
Shut it, go cheese. I'm like, wow, this is really racist.
It was the
80s. Oh. Yeah. But, and like, that's the thing, too, like, because he comes out and he's like, Ralph got drunk. And when Ralph gets drunk, he gets his calling. Starts spreading his gospel. Have you seen him out here? And they're like, no. but if he's only out there to talk to them, it's like, why are you so hostile?
Yeah.
And he's like, we ain't gonna stand for no foolishness out y'all.
That's because he knew. He knew there's a death curse on it.
I guess so. And then he turned his bike around and goes back up. And I made sure you watched because you could tell that they totally cut before he wrecked the motorcycle because he didn't know what he was doing.
He did look like he was about to wreck.
And what I find funny is, like, they do that. And then Ralph, then they're inside, and Ralph just comes strolling out the pantry.
Yeah.
Like, Alice opens the door, and he's like, you're all doomed! Like, so what? Like, he rolled into the cabin and, like, just jumped in the pantry, and he's like, I'm gonna yell at whoever opens the door!
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he's fucking crazy.
I'm just saying, don't you think he could have, like, would have came up outside and been like, you're all doomed. Like, why are you playing hide and seek in the pantry? Like some kind of demented jack-in-the-box. He opened the door, you're all doomed. Like, it's a death curse. And dude's like, I think we just met Ralph.
Yeah, right? I think you're right.
And they said, I think that was another thing where it was like left over from the original like script type thing because they were trying, they said like, you know, they wanted to make it look like Steve was a suspect. He wanted to make it like Ralph, you know, crazy Ralph was a suspect. Yeah. So, like, I think, like, that's something that survived from earlier drafts, and they didn't really quite catch that it's like, okay, we're not doing that now. So, like, this scene's kind of weird. Like, just having him hide in the pantry is kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see, you know, like, where that was being
put
over. Which, that would have really made it more interesting. So, I'm kind of sad that they kind of cut away from that.
Of, like, trying to have you, like, guess, like, yeah, who the killer was. Is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it is just because, like, I've seen it so many times. And maybe it doesn't work for you because living with me, you, like, know all kinds of shit about these movies. But, you know, maybe, you know, if it was somebody that wasn't familiar with them, like, you know, say I was to show it to Connor when he gets older, right?
Yeah.
And, like, maybe, you know, we go into it without telling him that it's, you know, Jason's mom and this and that. Then maybe the viewing difference for him would be different and he would think, oh, maybe it is this crazy guy that talks about a death curse, or maybe it is this dude that's disappeared all day and ain't been seen since.
I don't know, though, because, like, even without thinking about, you know, a lot, it could be them, but I know who it is, or anything like that. Like, you see him at the beginning, she takes off, and then, you know, this Jeep picks her up. So, Ralph's already, like, out because he was at the bar or whatever. And then...
Oh, yeah, because it was like, if he was all like, you're doomed, like, why would she get in the Jeep with him?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And then, you know, like, as far as, what's his face? Steve?
Yes.
Like, he was already there. And, you know, like, it shows all that happening, and then it cuts to them being there. So it's like, how would it be him? How would he have killed her if he was already there helping?
Yeah, but you can't really trust a cut in a movie like that, because unless it's like a smash cut, meaning, oh, this is happening right now at the same time, generally when you cut to another scene, you don't know how much time has passed.
Yeah.
So technically, like, he could have killed her, and then... Oh, now he's at, this happened before he got there. Like,
yeah, but I never saw it that way.
Right.
Like, it was just, it was too fast, basically. And then, you know, like, with the Ralph thing, if he was going that way, why wouldn't he have just given her a ride to begin with? Why did she have to get in the trucker, or get in with the trucker? And then how did he get ahead of the trucker?
Yeah.
Well, just behind him, I guess it would have been, because... she was walking and then he turned up. So I guess that, I don't know, it never even, like, occurred to me that maybe it could be, you know, any of them.
Well, I think, too, though, is that might be because you do know the twist. Yeah. Like, you do know that it's his mother. Because if you go in clean, and especially when Annie gets killed and you can clearly tell that that's a man's hand holding that knife, like... Just like they said behind the scenes, like in movies like that, you always expect the killer to be a man.
Right.
Okay, so like your brain, if you don't know the twist, your brain is going to be thinking, okay, there's somebody up here killing all these people. Right?
Right.
So then, you know, you would think that it would... Y'all don't have to edit that out. Then it could be one of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get what they were going for in the earlier drafts, but, like, I think, like, once they decided not to do that, they maybe should have made one more pass to, you know, make sure that the new tone, like, matched.
Yeah.
Like, everything. Because, I mean, I've done that. You know, when I write. Yeah. You know, like, I'll write something, I'll show it to you, right? And then, like, I'll take it back upstairs, and then I change my mind.
Right.
You know, and I change it and I write something and then you look at it again and you're like, hey, you still have this, you did this, but you still have this thing in here. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I missed that. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, same thing.
The importance of editors, proofreaders.
So then it's after that when Marcy and Jack are down on the lake and Ned's kind of watching them like a creeper.
Yeah.
And it's looking like it's about to rain, and he wanders off by himself, and he sees somebody go into a cabin, and he jumps up there, you know, and he's like, hey, who's there? Can I help you? And that's the last time we see Ned alive.
Yeah, poor Ned, he dies a virgin.
And then we cut back to Jack and Marcy, who are on the beach, and, you know, Jack's like, man, the storm is about to come in, you know, you see some lightning and some wind, and then you hear about Marcy's creepy-ass dream about raining blood hitting the ground so hard it sounds like pebbles, and then they decide to get in before the storm comes, and they go into the same cabin, and you get their brown chicken brown cow on.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, they're doing the deed on the bottom bunk. And our boy Ned.
How do you not see that?
Dead.
Like, they're taller than the bunk beds.
I think they were kissing and stuff when they came in. I don't think they were paying attention.
Kind of hard to not notice, like, a whole person laying on the top bunk. But whatever. Dumb teenagers, I guess, right?
I guess. What if Jack did see him? But didn't think he was dead, and he was like, I'll just let Ned do a little here. Oh my
god. I feel like that should have been something that would have been addressed, you know, like when she left, he like hit the bunk and like, so did you enjoy the show, Ed?
Right. But how bad for poor Ned? Like I said, like I think he was obviously into Marcy. That wasn't happening. And then he gets killed, which is bad enough, but then his body is left on the top bunk and they have sexy times underneath him.
And I'm telling you, that boy was a virgin. He was trying to.
You gotta let that go.
No. No. I will not.
But yeah, they do the deed on the bottom bunk, and my lovely wife here had a whole commentary about sex on the bottom bunk and how hard it would be while it was going on.
Listen, we're not little people here, so...
Don't fat shame me.
Try to do it, like, in that little bit of space, like, missionary like that. That's just... I don't understand how people do that. Like, I need some space. If you're laying on me so much that our tops are touching, I'm gonna die. And that's not even calling you fat. That's calling me fat, because then you're pushing my stomach way down. It's like, I can't breathe.
Listen, if there's not enough room on the bottom bunk for us, it's not because we're fat. There's just not enough room for my massive cock. Okay.
Then again, the whole missionary style in movies always gets me. Maybe I've just never had that kind of boring sex before. Or maybe intimate. I don't know. I don't even know what you would call that. But it's
they were something. Making love.
Yeah, I don't do that. It always seems so fake to me. I don't know, but I've always been fat. So.
Our poor audience right now. I don't make love. Okay. So they get done with that. Marcy goes off. Our boy Jack. Arrowhead through the throat.
Yeah.
Marcy, axe to the face.
Which you already heard all about our thoughts on those.
So. Yes. And at the same time this is going on, then it does start to storm.
Yeah.
And we join Alice and Bill and Sarah right?
I guess.
Yes. I keep wanting to call dude Steve, but like that's not his name. He is not Steve. He is Bill.
Yeah.
Like there.
You said that earlier too, when you were talking about the gutter. You said Steve was there. Like, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember.
I meant Bill was off somewhere else, but yeah. Okay. So Alice, Bill, and Sarah are in, or Brenda. I can't keep track of names tonight.
Oh my God.
Or in the cabin. And lay Brenda's like, let's play some strip Monopoly, son. Especially because Alice is like, Monopoly's boring. And Brenda's like, not the way I play it.
Nope, that'd still be boring.
I just like how she's like, we're going to play strip Monopoly. And Alice is like, what? Like, she's shocked. But as she says it, she's already up out of her seat. coming to the table.
With an excited look on her face.
She was ready. She's going to show off the goods.
Uh-huh.
Dude, we totally skip past the part where Brenda was setting up the archery range.
Oh, yeah.
And Ned shot the arrow at her.
Yeah.
And scared the living bejesus out of her.
Dickhead Ned.
Maybe that's why he was virgin.
Yep.
Because she used shooting arrows at women.
Uh-huh. He was imagining it. It was his cock.
That was Tom Savini too. Shot the arrow at her.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Right?
You're gonna shoot what at me?
Like, I'd make him take a few practice shots at least to make sure he's decent at it before even thinking about remotely being in the same vicinity. Being downrange at all.
I'm thinking about Saber Troopers. What about that little guy? Oh, don't you worry about that little guy.
Stop cutting to other movies. God. We're talking about Friday the 13th.
I will cut to whatever I want.
Get your shit in check.
My shit is in check. This is what I do. This is who I am.
You want to have another tea?
Anyway. God. Maybe I will.
Yeah, we bypassed the whole Ned shooting an arrow kind of thing, which would keep him being a virgin forever, but, you know, I'm sure if it were up to Brenda, too, but...
Oh, you wouldn't sleep with me if I shot an arrow at you?
No, I would not. Not, like, even a little bit.
You wouldn't be like, ooh, dangerous bad boy, you shot an arrow at me.
No.
My heart, I got the vapors.
No, not even. It would be more like, this reckless, stupid-ass motherfucker. You think that's going to get you in my pants? Fuck you.
Yes.
Stay away from me.
I just gave you a thought, but I'm not going to say it, because this podcast episode has already got too racy. So, moving on. So, they're playing Strip Monopoly, and then the door blows open.
Yeah, just how fucking random is that? Not even like it blows in, you know, from the wind blowing so hard that it blows the door. No, it blows out.
Yeah, because the door opens out.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
That's not how wind works.
No.
And Brenda's like, it's pouring. And Brenda's like, oh, I think I left my windows open in my cabin.
Yeah, like it hasn't been pouring for the last however long.
Right. We're going to have to finish this another night. And goes like, I'm like, no.
I think like, she was just mad because she was down to her panties.
I'm halfway to Naked Town. And it's pouring outside. I'm just going to sleep there.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going back to the cabin tonight.
Yeah, it's dark. It's raining. Yeah.
There's a killer on the loose, even though they don't know that. But, you know, whatever. And then, so Brenda goes down. She gets ready for bed. And then, like, she starts hearing, like, somebody call for help. And, like, I wonder how they did that. Because, like...
That was later.
No, because she gets ready for bed. She gets into bed. She's reading her book.
Oh, yeah.
And then she starts hearing somebody screaming because that's what gets her up and gets her outside.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But she ends all the way up back down at the archery range, getting all soaked and shit. And then it cuts away, and then you hear her scream. So, like, she dies off screen, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the second off screen death.
And then when you see her, she doesn't have arrows in her, does she?
No, she gets thrown through the window.
Yeah, with the rope.
Yeah. Wrapped around her. Which was Tom Savini in a wig.
I didn't think that. I was trying to figure out who that was supposed to be. And it was like, not.
He did it all on this movie.
He was the stuntman for everyone.
Yep. He was cutting throat, shooting arrows, getting tossed through windows, like suggesting snake murder. Like Tom's all over this movie. But that's even, you know, that's later, though, because, yeah, you know, they cut back to the thing, like, the generator goes out, lights go out, you know, all that good shit, and, you know.
Bill was like.
Thank you, because I almost fucking said Steve again, so.
I figured.
Way to go. Because Alice is asleep.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go check the generator. Meanwhile, Steve's finally deciding to head back from fucking town.
Yeah.
And his Jeep breaks down halfway back.
Because of all those supplies.
Right? Isn't that convenient?
Uh-huh.
And then...
And for the record, Alice does sort of wake up and offer to help. And Bill's like, no, you need to get your sleep.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't making any comment. I was just saying that she was sleeping.
But I was just pointing out that she offered.
And then Steve finally gets back, and like somebody starts coming up to him. He's like, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
He obviously knew who it was, and then boom, he gets murdered. But like his happens off screen technically, but like at least like they show his reaction. So it's like, okay, he got stabbed.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, you know.
Which, how the fuck does he end up in the rafters? Because she opens the thing and his like body comes down.
She strung him up, I guess.
Dude, this Voorhees is like mad strong, you know. Because like he gets strung up in the rafters. Bill goes down to check the generator, right? And he's doing all that stuff and like he's looking. And then like he actually dies off screen. You don't see it.
Right.
Alice wakes up, starts getting ready. She's going to get some coffee ready, all that stuff. She decides Bill's taking too long. She remembers him saying he's going to go down to the generator. She goes down to check it out. Door's open. She can't find him. She comes out, goes to close the door, and there he is. Yeah. Like, he is pinned to the back of the door.
Right. And it's like, he obviously never got the generator running because the lights would have been on. So, why was he outside to, like, get pinned to the door?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like this whole, like, last act. Crazy. Yeah, like, this whole last act thing is, like, you know, where, like, Alice finds all her friends. Like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Bill's pinned to the door. Steve's in the rafters, hangs upside down. Brenda gets taught, like, you're telling me Ms. Voorhees tossed her ass through a goddamn window? Like,
she's got that crazy lady strength.
You know what I mean? So, like, you know, she gets tossed. By the time Brenda gets tossed through the window, like, it's really going on now. You know, because Alice has pretty much barricaded herself inside the cabin.
Yeah.
You know, and then she sees lights. So she runs outside, you know, a Jeep pulls up. Because I think she thinks it's Steve.
Yeah.
And, like, that is a great line read. Because, like, she's crying inside. She's like, who are you? Like, it just, like, comes out. And I'm like, I don't know why. Like, I like that line. I like how it's delivered. But, like. And she's like, oh, Mrs. Voorhees, I'm a friend of the Christies. It's like, you crazy bitch.
Yeah.
You know, and she's all like hugging her and she's like, it's horrible. They're all dead and blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, like she takes them inside and her inside and she thinks she's all safe now. And then the crazy starts to come out. We never should have reopened this place. This boy Jason drowned. Counselors were having sex. They should have been paying attention.
It was my son.
And today is his birthday. And it's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. I'll have to point out to my sister because I remember her popping up saying June 13th.
Which is how Alice do too. Like, she's like, ah, shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, you know, she takes out, you know, Ms. Voorhees takes out the knife. And then, you know, chaos ensues.
Yeah.
Trying to kill her. Although there is a great shot. You know, like, well, talking about, like, you know, the whole crazy thing. Like, and it's, like, on the documentary thing, too. And, like, I actually noticed it as well. It's, like, when she's, like, talking about how Jason died, you know. Mm-hmm. And, like, she has Alice by the arms and she goes, Jason should have been watched. They weren't paying attention. He wasn't. And, like, she smiles, you know, and pats Alice's head. And she's, like, he wasn't a very good swimmer. And it's, like. That bitch is crazy. Like, that's what the dude said. He said there was something about the way that Betsy Palmer delivered that line and like the look in her eyes that it was like her character knew that she knew she was crazy and she didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And then when Alice hides in the pantry and, like, you know, she's cutting through the door to get it open, when she gets that rectangle, like, you knocked out, like, she can actually see inside. Uh-huh. Like, if you watch, like, there's a look on Betty Palmer's face.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, but like, there's a, but it's also just a look too where it's like, she's like, she's like, she's crazy. And also at the same time, it's like kind of smug. Like, you're in the pantry and you can't get out. Like, like, you know, she's looking at you like, I got you now, you bitch. Like, you know, like that kind of look.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Before she takes the frying pan to the face.
Is like she's like reaching into.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, she got. Yeah, she's got that look on her face, like, you mine, son. But Alice cleans her clock with a frying pan, and runs outside, and for whatever fucking reason, decides to just get on her knees, like, by the water, like, oh, I saw a little bit of blood behind her head.
That must have killed her.
And then here she comes with the machete.
Like, I'm gonna fuck you up, bitch.
Yep. Then they get in their fight on the beach. She slams Alice's head off the fucking sand like twice, and you could totally hear it, and you could see it. You could tell that she like actually hit her head on the ground, which is funny because like there was a behind the scenes thing talking about like Betsy Palmer came from Broadway, and when you act on stage, like if it's in the script, like you slap somebody on stage, they really slap them, you know, because they don't have the camera work, like, you know, to cut away the stuff to make the slap sound. So like they can't sell a fake hit on stage. Right. So like, you know, they smack you. And like they were talking about like Betsy wanted to rehearse the scene when she would, you know, she was smack, you know, when she smacks Alice in the cabin. Uh-huh. And Alice is like, yeah, okay, cool. And like she smacked the shit out of her. Like knocked her to the floor. And like Alice, like Adrian started crying. She's like, she hit me. And like, and she's like, well, on Broadway, we hit. And the director was like, when the movies, we miss. Like she like smacked the fuck out of her. Could you imagine being an actor and not knowing that was coming? Like, oh, we're going to rehearse, and then your co-star just smacks you in the fucking face, like, what? It just slaps the fucking taste out your mouth, like, what?
That would be so
awful. This is probably why she started crying.
I would have.
She was probably
even like, if it didn't really hurt, she would just be like, the shock of it.
She's like, this bitch just hit me.
I know what it feels like to take baby heads to the face, so...
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
I can imagine, like, a grown woman slapping me to the ground.
Especially when you don't know what's coming.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my point. You know, you don't always see the baby head.
But, yeah, so, like, they fight on the beach, and then Alice gets the machete, and off goes Mrs. Voorhees' head.
Which I totally missed. That's the only part I'm sad that I
missed. That's what I was saying. Like, I think like that's the only part that you like wanted to see. Like, you came back and you're like, oh, now I missed her getting her head cut off.
Yeah, and you couldn't even rewind it for me. Dick.
I mean, like you had said, you'd been in and out. It didn't seem like you were worried about it. So it was like, okay, what?
Interesting.
It was like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah.
That was the exciting part.
And then she pushes her boat, her little canoe, out onto the lake. And you get the little fake out.
Yeah.
Everything's calm.
Just laying there.
And then creepy plankton face Jason comes up out of the water and pulls her in.
Yeah. Which, let me just say, like, okay. That, you know, he drowned in 59 or 57. This is like 79. So it's been, you know.
Well,
like,
it was made in 79, but they never actually say what the current year in the movie is.
It says current day, so it would be like 79.
Okay.
Either way, it's been like 40 years since her kid died. It's like, bitch, get a cat. Or 10.
Wow. You know what? I'm not surprised about this because we talked about this earlier because you were all like, she could have just had another one. And I'm like, you don't replace kids.
No, but you don't have to go batshit crazy and kill everybody else's kids, like I said.
They were teenagers. They're not kids.
They're still somebody.
They weren't paying attention. Listen. I understand completely. Because, let's put it this way. Like, she kills the two counselors in 57, right? Or 58, right?
Which, okay, if they're the
Which,
ones
that's fine, because if they were the ones that were supposed to be watching him, like, that's an eye for an eye. Yeah. Like, it's like, you weren't paying attention, it's your fault my kid is dead. I'm with you, because I'm probably going to do the same thing. Yeah. Like, it just is what it is.
That makes sense, that's fair.
But here's what I'm thinking now. You get the present day, right? Now, they have said...
40 years later.
Yes, but look, they have said, you know, they tried to reopen it before, and there was fires. They tried to reopen it, and it was this. They tried to reopen it, and it was the water was bad. So, like, they've obviously tried to reopen it many times. So, finally, by this time, she was just like, you know what? They keep trying to reopen this thing. They're not getting the hint. So I gotta drop fucking bodies. Like, that's what I gotta do. This is where I've been pushed to. This is how I will keep the place from opening. I'm gonna drop fucking bodies. Get the toe tags. I get it.
Bitch is 10 times crazy and she needs some fucking gas.
That's all I'm saying. She doesn't want what happened to her son to happen to somebody else. And they won't. They're obviously intent on opening the camp again. So she's like, how can I stop this? Okay, I'm just gonna ice everybody.
There are ways.
Yeah, she had ways.
Less psychotic ways, just saying.
I mean, if you want to be lame, look, she was making a point, okay? Uh-huh. They didn't get the subtle hints, okay? They didn't get the subtle fire hints. They didn't get the subtle water hints. So she had to go from background to foreground, okay? Like, she had to make a statement. 10 bodies makes a statement.
Yeah, well, obviously not a big enough one because they'll try to reopen it again.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's Jason.
Still.
So that has nothing to do with her at that point.
No, I'm just saying. Her point was missed again.
Whatever. So that is Friday the 13th. So what do you think was the best kill in the movie? I know you're not going to say Marcy's axe to the face because you called it fake and cheesy.
I did not like that one. I don't know. Like, there wasn't really one that stood out. The one that I would think would have stood out, I missed. So
really, you're gonna sit here in my own house across from me at the table and say there was not a death in that movie that stood out? Like, you see people get stabbed from under the bed and an arrowhead come out through their goddamn throat hole every day?
No, but I mean, I guess that could count. I just felt like I mentioned that one too many times already.
No, because that's easily the kill of the movie.
Okay.
Easily.
Well, then I don't feel so bad for saying it again. Then. So yes, that would be the one that would be the best.
Man, I mean, decapitations are just so run of the mill.
Not when it's done by a little teenage girl.
You said Alice wasn't a teenager.
You said she was.
I'm just saying, you can't disagree with me at one point and then agree with me at the next to suit your purposes.
No, obviously you just changed my mind.
Oh, okay. So now we're going to do a new segment that I came up with this evening called Where Are They Now? So Adrienne King, who played Alice, after her story, whoa. So after Friday the 13th, like, she suffered an aggressive stalker. Like, this dude was like stalking her hardcore. And then, like, he insinuated his way, like, into her life. So then, like, she was giving him info about her stalker. Cause, like, she thought, like, he was a friend.
Yeah.
And then, like, it, like, came to a head, like, basically, like, he broke into her apartment and was, like, holding a gun to her head.
Shit.
Yeah, it was insane. So, like, after that, like, she was, like, pretty much done with public shit. Like, she did some stunt work on Ghostbusters, like, you know, in 1984. And then, like, she pretty much just, like, dropped out of the public eye after that. Like, you know, like, she went to London and, like, studied, like, you know, like, arts and stuff like that.
I can't blame her.
And then, like, when she finally did come back to acting, like, she's been, like, predominantly doing, like, voice work.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's supposed to get back on camera here, like, this year, or maybe it was a couple years ago, according to the article. But then, like, she, like, does artwork, and she actually owns a winery called Crystal Lake Wines.
Oh, nice.
and she has sold like Friday the 13th themed wines.
That's cool.
So, like, I feel like as wine drinkers, we should look into this.
Well, obviously, in August.
Once the baby's out. So, Janine Taylor, who played Marcy, after Friday the 13th, like, she pretty much returned to, like, stage acting. She did that for a while, and then she became a marketing manager for a New York magazine, and then she appeared as herself in a 2013 documentary about the Friday the 13th movies, Crystal Lake Memories.
Right.
So that's like pretty much for her. Robbie Morgan, who played Annie, the first present day victim of the whole Friday the 13th franchise. Like, she did a couple TV shows after the movie, but not much else after that. She married another actor in 1987, but the notable thing about that is that Demi Moore was a bridesmaid at her wedding.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you have Kevin Bacon as Jack. We all know who Kevin Bacon is.
So obviously yeah. He was successful.
After Friday the 13th, he did Footloose and like exploded. And like he's been in so many movies with so many people that like he literally spawned the game. You know, the six degrees of Kevin Bacon?
No.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, so there's a game you can play. It's called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. And you, because he's been in so many movies with like different people, it's like you pick a movie, like you pick an actor from a movie, and by naming 6 different movies, you can create a chain from that actor to Kevin Bacon.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, like that's like how many movies that like he's been in with like other people.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like it's crazy. And like I was actually trying to think of like a good example, but like it's of course like I thought of one earlier, but like now that we're on, you know, now that we're actually on the air, it's like I can't think of one.
So Johnny Depp. He's been in enough fucking movies. He's probably had a few with Kevin Bacon.
Alright, here we go. So like here's one. Okay, here. So you can do it like, okay, for example, here's an easy one. The shortest path from Kevin Bacon to the actor John Malkovich, right? So John Malkovich was in Death of a Salesman. He was in Death of a Salesman with Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman was in Sleepers with Kevin Bacon. So see, now you've put them together. And then it says, now John Malkovich is easy. Like, you know, here we go. They got one to say here, right here. It's on this site, like FurlageTwins.com. They even did it with this French actor, Agnes, I'm going to butcher this last name, Joui. Okay. This is a French actor who stars almost exclusively in French language films. Could she possibly be linked to Kevin Bacon? Yes. She was in Same Old Song with Lambert Wilson. Lambert Wilson was in Catwoman with Sharon Stone. Sharon Stone was in He Said, She Said with Kevin Bacon. and then here's another one. It says, okay, but how about actors from previous eras? Surely Kevin Bacon cannot be so easily linked to someone who starred in a film in the 20s and 30s. Janet Gaynor, for example, was an Academy Award-winning actor who starred in films such as Sunrise, Seventh Heaven, and A Star is Born. What's her Bacon number? So, Janet Gaynor was in Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans, with Gibson Gallant. Gibson Gallon was in The Wolfman with Ralph Bellamy. Ralph Bellamy was in 100 Years of Horror, The Frankenstein Family with Robert De Niro. And Robert De Niro was in Sleepers with Kevin Bacon. So that's the game. Like,
interesting.
That's how many things he's been in. And I had a feeling earlier, I was like, because I even have it in my notes. It was like, ask Des if she knows what 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon is.
Yep.
Harry Crosby played Bill. He was the son of the legendary Bing Crosby. I don't think you've ever heard of Bing Crosby. Like, he was this big, like, actor, musician, like, way back in the day.
Right.
But another famous Crosby that Bill, that Harry is related to, is Denise Crosby, is his half-niece. You know her from, she played Rachel Creed in the original Pet Sematary.
Okay.
So they're related. Lori Bartram, who played Brenda, like, she pretty much left the entertainment industry. She went back to school and got a degree in education. She got married and had five kids, but she passed away at the age of 49 from pancreatic cancer.
Oh, that sucks.
Mark Nelson, who played Ned, did a lot of television after Friday the 13th, including six episodes spread across the different iterations of Law and Order. So he was on Law and Order a lot.
Yeah, he must have liked that show.
No, playing different roles.
Well, yeah, that's...
He's now a faculty member at HB Studio. Peter Brower, who played Steve Christie, I could not find anything on him.
So he just did it and dropped off the face of
it. Yeah. Betsy Palmer, who played Miss Voorhees, she died in 2015. She was 88. And then Ari Lehman, who played, you know, baby Jason, I'll call him. Like, he did a lot of work on independent films, like, especially soundtracks. Like, he's big into music. And then he formed a punk metal band called First Jason. Especially for horror fans. And the band released two albums, one called Jason Is Watching and the other one called Heed My Warning. So I love when people like lean into shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because a lot of times when like you see somebody who's like famous for one thing, like they kind of become jerky about it, you know, because it's the only thing they're recognized for.
Yeah,
you know, so when some, yeah, and they get annoyed. So when like somebody like really leans into it, like, I like that. It's, I don't know. Final impressions. It's okay. You can break my heart.
Not terrible.
That's what I say. I already know it's coming because, you know, 1980.
Not one that I'm like, oh, I have to watch that. Or I see it on and I'll like turn it on, obviously.
So the exact opposite of me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because 1980. Because Friday the 13th is a classic, you Philistine.
I'm not, so.
All right, so. Where are you giving it? Oh, you should see the look on her face. She's like biting her tongue. And I got this like half smile. She's about to say some heinous shit. She's about to say something that's going to make me tip this table. She just held up two at me. Two stars. This is some bullshit.
It just wasn't that great to me, and I could take it or leave it.
Two stars.
In my defense, slashers aren't my thing anyway, and then you're throwing an old slasher at me. Like, I'm just gonna tell you right now, no matter what movie wins on which bracket, it's, you're never gonna get a good rating out of me. For any of them.
Really?
Probably
none of them.
Probably not.
So, like, in 1987, I Have a Nightmare on Elm Street 3 winning. She shrugged at me.
I'm not big on, like, I know you love Nightmare on Elm Street. I just, it's whatever to me. It's never, like, scared me. It's never left a lasting impression. It's not something that it's like, ooh, I want to watch that.
Yeah, you're not a big gore person.
No.
And that's pretty much what, like, slashers, like, deal in. Yeah. Like, gore is their stock and trade.
That's what I said. A slasher and an old one at that. So.
Two.
They're all before I was born.
Two stars for Friday the 13th. She's one of those critics from the 80s.
But not for the same reasons.
Not for being prudish.
Yeah.
Well, shockingly, like, I love Friday the 13th. I think it's a classic movie, but I wouldn't give it 5 stars. I'd give it like, I think it depends on the day. Like, I could go in a range from like 3.5 to 4.5. Like, honestly.
I'm shocked.
Maybe top out at 4. Well, I respect its place in the history of slashers. Like, you know, basically, I mean, like, Halloween came out first in 78, but Friday 13th is like really the movie that kicked off the slasher moon. Yeah. And I mean, in there for a while, like, there was a Friday the 13th movie out every year. Like, Friday the 13th came out in 80. Part 2 came out in 81. Part 3 came out in 82. They took a break in 83. Part 4 came out in 84. Part 5 in 86. Part 6 in 87.
Yeah.
part 7 in 88, like, every year, like, you are getting a Friday the 13th movie.
Yep.
So, I respect it for what it has started. You know, I like the whole thing of the mom, but like I said before, like, when I first started watching it, it was Jason, the hockey mask. That is what I'm used to. So, like, if I'm going to watch a Friday the 13th movie 9 times out of 10, like, that's what I'm picking. Right. You know, like, one of those. Like I said, Jason Lives is my absolute favorite. That's part 6. I'd say my second best favorite after that's part 3. You know, and that's the one where he actually gets the hockey mask.
Right.
So, and I would say prepare yourself to talk about a couple more Friday movies. Because I think, like, the last time...
You had to put them in every year that they were made, right?
Yeah, well, because like, with only doing slashers, you only had a handful of movies to pick from for any given year. And, like, a lot of years, like, those were, like, the only things, you know, that were out, you know? But right now, we've got 30, like, we've got the 1981 bracket going. Friday 13th Part 2 is leading The Burning with 62% to 38, and that's with 37 votes.
Pull it away.
Yeah, it's with 37 votes. And then Halloween.
I'll vote for The Burning, so I don't have to do this again.
And Halloween 2 is, like, crushing The Prowler pretty good. There's 38 votes, and Halloween 2 is up 82% to 18%. So, damn. So I don't know, because that would put Wednesday's matchup at being Friday 13th Part 2 versus Halloween 2.
That's true.
So then, you know, come Saturday, yeah, you would either get Friday 2 or Halloween 2.
Go Halloween.
Dude, there's a lot of fucking Michael Myers fans on Twitter. Like, it is insane. So, like, I would not be surprised if, you know, Halloween 2.
I mean, not that I really prefer Halloween over Friday the 13th, you know, either one of those.
See, I would think that Halloween, at least the first two, like, I would think that those would be, other than being old, that those would kind of be up your alley slasher-wise, because they don't have a lot of blood. Okay. Like, they're not gory. No. They're, like, more suspenseful. Like, they build tension, and then he dispatches somebody.
My biggest issue with slashers is the stupidity of the people they kill. Honestly.
But yeah, like, I really do. Like, I have Friday 13th movies all the way up to 86. Because that's part 6. Like, 87, 88, 89. Like, there were ones in those three. But there was actually enough movies that I could pick other ones.
Damn.
So then I was like, okay, I'm not going to have a Jason movie in every single bracket of this thing. Like, I'm just,
makes
I'm just
you look not. A little biased.
Yeah, like, so. Yeah, but that's where we are now. So, yeah, next week. I'm gonna say now, like, you're probably gonna get Halloween, either Halloween 2 or Friday the 13th Part 2 next week. I know in my bracket I have Halloween 2, so that's what I voted for. That's what I'm pulling for, you know. So you heard it here first. Vote for Halloween 2, so that my poor wife doesn't have to watch Friday the 13th and then Friday the 13th Part 2 on consecutive weeks. She gives Friday the 13th 2 stars. You know what? I'll just average it out for the sake of this. I'll say 4. That way I'm not like, oh, 3.5 to 4.5. Yeah. So 2, 4, you know. So that's 6 divided by 2. So it's a 3-star average on your Garage of Horror podcast. If you liked the episode, don't agree with anything in the episode, caught some mistakes in the episode, reach out to us. We have many social media links. You can do Garage of Horror, or at Garage of Horror on Twitter. You can do at Garage of Horror on Instagram, although I will admit I'm not on there very much because I'm not good at it. She hasn't really been doing anything, so we pretty much lost our Instagram lady.
Facebook.com/GarageofHorror.
Which is pretty much the wife.
Yeah,
like
control that one.
Dez takes care of a lot of the Facebook. If you see a Garage of Horror posting on Facebook, 9 times out of 10,
it's me.
Dez did it. Like, I really do focus on Twitter. It's what I'm good at. So those are our three links for that. The podcast is available on all the popular, you know, streaming services. We're on Apple, you know, all that, iHeartRadio.
Including YouTube, too.
I was getting there. The big news is we're also available on Podbean now. And if you want to go listen to it at Podbean, you can actually leave comments on the podcast. So that would be cool. Like, we need some people to follow the podcast on Podbean. So, like, if you could just go there and click and, like, give us a follow. And then let us know what you think. You can, like I said, you can comment right on the episode.
Yep, you can call us idiots. You can say you love us. Just don't stalk us, please. We're not up for that.
I mean, I'm up for that. I need a nemesis.
I'm not up for stalking.
So that is our... Those are our social media links. So we hope you enjoyed our inane rambling about our inane mistake-filled rambling about Friday the 13th. And we hope you will join us again next week.
Or hopefully Halloween too.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
For you. Look, there comes one of them now.